Good morning and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. My name is Susan Luna Hazelwood and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is with us this day as we worship. Even if we are not able to worship by live stream this morning because our internet is down, we are still in the presence of God. And I'm so glad that you're joining us for this time of worship at whatever time today you're able to do that. I hope that as you prepare for worship, you'll take a moment to let us know that you were here. You can do that through the link on the website. If you have the worship link, that should have information on how to do that. And that you'll also take a moment to make sure you have some bread, some juice, some water or wine that will allow you to participate in the sacrament of communion as we share it today. Just a few announcements as we gather for upcoming events and opportunities in the life of the church. This afternoon, we'll be celebrating creation and a blessing of the animal service at 3 o'clock. And if you're able to join us, you can join by Zoom or RSVP and let us know that you'll be coming in person. And all that can be done through the website. Also, you may be wondering about my fancy mask that I'm wearing. Let's see if you can hear me once I put it on. It's a Habitat for Humanity of Greater Nashville mask, and I'm wearing it as a way of reminding you that we have an opportunity once again to help build a Habitat House on October 10th. You can sign up through the website, and rest assured that Habitat is doing everything they can to practice good protocols with social distancing and masks. We had a group of folks that participated last weekend and had a great experience, so we hope if you're able that you'll join in that Habitat build. And finally, we just want you to save the date. On October 16th, we're going to have an outdoor movie night here at the church grounds. It will be at 6:30 p.m., and we'll be watching Coco. So individuals and families are welcome, and that will be an event that we'll need to RSVP for. So make sure and be on the lookout for how you can do that. Today is World Communion Sunday. As you can tell by our communion table, we're celebrating cultures and breads from across the world as we recognize that on this day, Christians across the world are joining together in breaking bread, in hearing the good news that Christ has given himself for us. So let us feel connected not only to one another through the community of West End United Methodist Church, but with all Christians across the globe as we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Welcome to this time of worship.
people gather to break bread and pour wine.
We gather with them in heart and mind.
Around the world, the broken body is made whole.
As part of that body, we join in its unity.
Around the world, that banquet of God is prepared for the table. Let us worship together.
Let us share God's bounty.
Let us continue to worship God as we confess our sins, that we may receive forgiveness made possible through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also
with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. Escuchen la lectura del Evangelio de San Mateo. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say, 'Of human origin,' we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Hijo, son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, I will not. But later, he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Good morning. Our children's time this morning is going to be in celebration of our preschool Bible milestone, where our threes and fours receive story Bibles of their own. And normally we would be presenting them to them in worship, and we get to celebrate this all together as a congregation. But we weren't able to do that this year, so we wanted to still celebrate with them and with you. And so I'm going to read the names of our threes and fours who received their Bible this year, and then you'll get to see some pictures from the parking lot pickup party we had last Sunday. And we hope that these Bibles will be an opportunity for them to grow in their love of God and love of Scripture as they read the stories together with family and as they grow older. So we're so excited to celebrate this with them this morning. So here are some of our threes and fours who received their Bibles this year. Leo Bonney, Louise Brooks, Hawkins Dale, CJ Deitman, Lucas Donovan, Caroline Durst, Whit Goldsby, Lydia Humphrey, Kate Landry, Kirby Grace Lemons, Jill McCain, Ruthie McCain, Walker Reynolds, and Ella Wiseman. Blessings to all of you as you enjoy these new Bibles and have so much fun reading them at home with your families. We're so proud of all of you. And please enjoy these adorable pictures from our party last weekend.
Today is World Communion Sunday, and in just a few moments, I will be down at the table presiding over communion, over the sacrament. Now, I have authority to do that because I went to 4 years of college. I went to 3 years of seminary, got my master's of divinity, and then I wrote papers and went through interviews and appeared before the Board of Ordained Ministry in the United Methodist Church. After several years, they approved me to move forward as an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. After the Board of Ordained Ministry approved me, I then went before the whole clergy session of the Tennessee Annual Conference and was voted upon and allowed to become an elder in the United Methodist Church, which gives me the authority to stand at the table of the sacrament and preside. So I can only imagine how it would feel if, while I'm in the middle of doing the liturgy at the communion table, some stranger were to walk in through the door that none of us had ever seen before and just elbow me aside and start doing it himself. I would be very quick to ask him, "Who do you think you are? Who gave you the authority to come and lead the sacrament in the United Methodist Church? Where did you study? Who ordained you? Who gave you permission to be here?" These are the exact questions that the chief priests are asking Jesus in the temple. Now, before we look into their conflict, I want to zoom out a little bit and give you some context of where we are in the life and story of Jesus. For most of Jesus' ministry, most of Matthew's gospel that we've been spending time in, Jesus is in Galilee, in the backwaters of Galilee, among the peasants, teaching and preaching and healing. But in chapter 21, he enters Jerusalem. And we hear that story on Palm Sunday. He comes in on a donkey and all of the crowds are waving their palm branches. And the first thing he does when he arrives in Jerusalem is storm into the temple. And when he sees all of the money changers and all of the tables, he is so filled with anger at how the leaders of the temple are exploiting the people, how they've turned God's house of prayer into a den of robbers. And so he turns over the tables and calls out their hypocrisy. He's not on the good side of these chief priests then, you might say. And the very next day, he goes back to the temple and establishes himself as the teaching authority in the temple. He goes in day after day and teaches the crowds in the temple. And so the chief priests and other leaders are trying to dislodge him from this place of power. And what we have over the next few chapters of Matthew's gospel are 5 different confrontations that Jesus has with religious leaders. And this is the first one. It is the chief priests and the elders of the people who come to Jesus. And they come first because they are the guardians of the temple. They are the ones with authority to make decisions and to rule over the people in the temple. They're the ones with the power and the legitimate resume. And so that's why they come to Jesus and question his authority. Who gave you permission to come and teach in the temple? Who do you think you are? Now, the chief priests know who they are. They know what their source of authority is. A person became a chief priest because it was part of his bloodline. It was passed down from father to son to grandson to great-grandson. It came down through the tribe of Levi, through the line of blood. Then a person who wanted to be a chief priest perhaps would need to get some education and some training, but then he was set for life. And with the authority of the chief priests, they held status and power and prestige. Some scholars suggest that these few families who controlled the temple sometimes acted like a mafia in the way that they controlled things and took advantage of the people for their own profit and their own gain. But if anybody questioned them, they knew exactly where their authority came from. But not Jesus. Jesus' authority doesn't come from any particular bloodline. It doesn't come from his education or his training or his ordination. His authority comes from who he is. He is the Son of God, God made flesh, the Messiah, the Christ. And the crowds who have gathered around him recognize and know his authority by who he is, by how he teaches, by how he loves. But the chief priests don't see it. They're blind to who Jesus is. They're so caught up in their own power games and turf wars and legitimate authority that they cannot see the Son of God standing right in their midst. They're blind and deaf. So when they confront Jesus, they ask him by whose authority he dares to enter the temple and start to teach. He turns the tables on them and responds with another question. And it's all about, well, how would you say who John the Baptist is and what his authority was? And you'll notice the chief priests and elders don't answer from their own sense of conviction, from their own heart. Now, they're more interested in how it's going to look politically. What are the crowds going to think? And so they answer, we don't know. He has stumped and silenced these leaders. And then he goes on to tell a parable of two sons. A father goes to the first son and says, go work out in the field. And the son says, nah, I'm good. I got that from my son, Tate. Tate, you want to go fold your clothes? Nah, I'm good. I've learned to rephrase it so it's not a question anymore. But that first son says, no. And later, Jesus says he changes his mind. And he goes out and works in the field and does the will of his father. The other son says, sure, Dad, I will go. Yes, sir. And he never goes. He never actually does what his father wanted him to do. He just paid lip service to it. And so what is Jesus trying to point out to these chief priests and elders and to the people who are gathered as they hear this parable? Well, it's pretty clear in the way Matthew interprets it. These chief priests are like that second brother who give lip service to God, who wear the robes and have the credentials, and yet they are not in sync with who God is and what God is doing among them. They are so caught up in protecting their power and traditions and the status quo that they cannot see God right in front of them in the temple. And yet there are those, the most unlikely people, tax collectors and prostitutes, those who are deemed unsavory and unworthy by these religious authorities, who somehow are able to change their minds and see that God is right there in the person of this nobody from Galilee, this healer who never went to seminary or was ordained, this Messiah who speaks in love and in truth. They are the ones who get it. So my friends, as we listen to this parable, and as you're probably tired of hearing me say, there is underneath every text of Scripture an invitation. What is the invitation that we receive from this story of confrontation and this parable that Jesus tells? Well, one invitation is pretty clear. The invitation to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. The invitation not to get caught up in externals, in the robes and the stoles and the perfect attendance at church and all of the things that we do on the outside to look like we're faithful people. To, as John Wesley said, to have the form of religion without the power. No, it's not about all of these external things. It's about walking the walk, living as Jesus lived, loving as Jesus loved, keeping our eyes and hearts and ears and minds open to the idea that God may be speaking in a new way, may be doing a new thing, may come to us in a messenger we would never expect or receive were we not paying attention. And that's the second invitation I hear in this story. To examine ourselves and see if there is within us a little bit of the chief priest as is portrayed in this account of Jesus. Do I have a tendency to guard the status quo? To believe that I have captured God in my traditions, in my rules, in my book of discipline, in my liturgies, whatever it may be. And to be blind to the new thing, the new people, the new ways that God might be revealing God's self right in front of me. Am I so caught up in protecting my own power and my own status that I can't make room for the other? As we celebrate World Communion Sunday this morning, we're mindful of the myriad ways that God is revealed in cultures and people and languages and imagery that is totally different from our own. May we allow Jesus in this story to confront us and challenge us and upend what we think we know about God. The Reverend Charles Campbell tells a story about channel surfing one day, and he found himself watching an episode of Dr. Phil, the television psychologist, or whatever his credentials are, I don't know. But someone asked Dr. Phil, if you could interview anybody in the world from any era, who would you like to interview? And Dr. Phil said, what many people say, I'd love to interview Jesus of Nazareth, so I could talk to him and ask him about the meaning of life. And Reverend Campbell said, oh no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to interview Jesus, because as soon as you start interviewing Jesus, he turns the tables and you become the one being interviewed. He upends everything that we think we know about ourselves and about others. That's exactly what Jesus does to these chief priests and elders. It's what he might do with us if we allow ourselves to receive this story. May we be open and courageous and curious and humble enough to welcome Jesus in and allow him to surprise us and even change our minds. Amen.
And now, with the authority as children of our beloved God, let us rise in body or spirit and join our voices together as we proclaim our faith using the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada as found on your screens or in the United Methodist Hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite each of you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team this morning, we ask you to go to the West End UMC website and follow the link under Contact Us, and you can leave prayer requests there, and we will pray for them at our pastoral prayer meeting on Monday morning. We have a number of families that we want to keep in our prayers this morning who have lost loved ones. We begin by praying for the family of Jane Crawford, who is mourning the death of her husband, James Aubrey Crawford, who passed away on September 26th. Our sympathy also goes to Julia Whitaker and her family, and they are mourning the death of her grandmother, Ruth, who passed away this past week. We also remember this morning longtime West End member Nancy Perry Bowers, who passed away on Friday, October 2nd. We pray for her daughter, Ann Gobble, and the rest of their family at this time of loss. Services will be held at a later date. Our prayers are also with Bill and Sue Miller this morning in the loss of their granddaughter, Holly Leist, on Friday night. Holly is also the niece to Jeff and Jennifer Hoffman and the cousin of Caroline and Will and Michael Hoffman. Finally, at the request of advocates against the death penalty here in our own congregation and in the greater state as well, today we want to join other congregations across Tennessee in praying for Purvis Payne, who is slated for execution on December 3rd, 2020. Mr. Payne is a black man from Shelby County who has been on Tennessee's death row for over 30 years. He has intellectual disability, which has never been properly considered by the courts, and he has maintained his innocence since his arrest. We pray for Governor Bill Lee as he considers how to exercise his power in this matter, and we pray that Mr. Payne would be granted clemency. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Author of all creation, we come before you this morning in humble awareness of your authority over all things. You are the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We give thanks for this great and wondrous truth. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Word made flesh. In you we know God. What God created, you love, and what you love, God loves fully. There is no earthly or human power that can authorize the powerful work of your Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit that swept over the waters of creation, the same Spirit that filled you in your ministry, your death, and your resurrection. It is the same Spirit that pours forth here, now, and everywhere forevermore, creating and recreating, sustaining and reclaiming, and making all things new. Now, as much as ever, we need your Spirit's healing power among us. This morning, we pray most especially for our President, Donald Trump, and First Lady, Melania. We pray for other governmental leaders who are sick with the coronavirus. And we remember the over 200,000 people in our country who have died of this scourge so far. and the millions who have died or been made ill across the globe. In moments like these, we are reminded of our own human frailty. God of goodness and strength, we remember your assurance to the Apostle Paul that your grace is sufficient for us, for your power is made perfect in our weakness. We pray that you would make us a people of compassion in these trying days. Remind us that it is your great, deep, and abiding love that has ultimate authority over all of our living and doing and being. Make us a people of that same love, a love that dares to embrace neighbor and enemy alike, a love that calls us to care for others as we would have them care for us. On this World Communion Sunday, may our prayers for healing and wholeness fan out across the globe, and may they be swept up in the great cacophony of petitions from our siblings around the planet. For in your spirit, we are one people in one holy creation. And we pray all of these things in your triune name, Abba, Son, and Mighty Spirit. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail a check. We realize that many are suffering economically at this time, so we simply encourage you to give as you are able, and we know that God can multiply any and all gifts for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And holy is your Son, Jesus Christ. In his teaching and in his life, he showed us the meaning of true authority. In his suffering and death, he taught us the true meaning of love, of accepting and doing your will for the healing of the world. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and today his family in all the world is joining in this holy meal at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and gathered across the miles. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we lift up this bread and this cup, We remember our siblings in Christ across the world who gather virtually and in person, breaking bread, bread of every shape, color, texture, and taste. We remember those of the faith who cannot receive these gifts openly. We remember and we receive on their behalf through the power and unity of the Holy Spirit. As we gather around the table together, we remember that in our United Methodist tradition, this is an open table, and everyone who wishes to receive is welcome and invited and has a place at the table. We have an opportunity each month as we gather at the table to offer an extra gift for one of the missions of our congregation. And our communion offering this month will go to support Room in the Inn. It will continue a ministry of housing the unhoused in the city of Nashville in a new and creative way during this season. And we will get to participate in that as a congregation. So I hope you'll be looking for ways that you can participate and that your gifts will be blessed by God as we gather at the table today. Let us take this time now to receive the body and blood of Christ, the grace of our Lord given freely to all. My friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. Will you join me in giving thanks for the grace we have received in this meal? You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. Celebrating the tie that binds us together in the grace and love of Jesus Christ we have experienced at this table with siblings from across the world. May we go now to be instruments of peace with eyes, hearts, and minds open to God wherever God may reveal God's self this day. Amen.